sending us these videos throughout the week to just make us laugh, and generally it brightens up a stormy day. And I got this, he sent this one out, somebody sent this one to me a couple weeks ago, and you've probably seen it floating around, but I'll give you still shots, and then I'll post the actual video online. But if you guys could throw that up there, there's this kid, and he's trying to help a lamb that has fallen into an irrigation ditch. They're getting ready to put a pipe in there, and there's this sheep that has fallen down, a lamb that has fallen down in this thing. And so this kid is struggling to help this sheep out, and he gets the sheep out, and all of a sudden, in the next scene, as soon as the sheep gets out, it starts jumping around, yay, I'm free, and then right back into the gully, just right back into the thing. And I don't know if anything embodies, in my mind, life without the Holy Spirit more than this 30-second clip that's floating around on the internet. And we're on this series on the Holy Spirit called Breath of Life. And as we go throughout the series, we're going to be unpacking more and more the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of those who have chosen to follow Christ. And with that in mind, before we get any further, let me just pray for us. Lord Jesus, oh Lord, I thank you so very much that you care about us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our minds and our eyes to see the things that are of you, that you would widen our hearts to receive what you have for us, that you would open up our spirit to be receptive of your spirit's desire and work in our lives. I pray this in your name. Amen. Our third value as a church is we will change through the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's kind of why we're highlighting this series. We believe that Jesus changes everyone through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We will choose into this ongoing process, believing that every change that God initiates in you is good. This is what we believe. And with that in mind, we're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 this morning. So if you have Galatians chapter 5, would like to open up to that. We looked at the book of Galatians a couple years ago, and so you may be familiar with this passage. We want to hit it again this morning. To give you context for what's going on here before we get started in Galatians chapter 5, Paul, the apostle, an apostle of God, had talked about Jesus in the region of Galatia, and several people had come to receive Christ. And after he left, a group of people known as the Judaizers came in, and they tried to change the mind of those who believed in God, that it was really about working out your salvation and all the lists and things that you needed to do in order to prove to God that he didn't die for you in vain. They wanted those who had followed Christ to continue in the pattern of the law which Jesus himself came to fulfill. He came to fulfill it for us to bring freedom in and through him. And they wanted the group of Christians to go back and continue to follow the law and focus on the law. But Jesus had already fulfilled the law in his death and resurrection. So they were preaching a gospel, a story to this church in Galatia that was contrary to the true message of God. They were trying to rebound the church and Paul had set free in Christ. And so that's the context coming in here to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 13 and read 13 to 18 to start here this morning. In Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but not to use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do what you want, But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Let me just stop there and talk through this for a second. So you were called to be free. That's where he starts. And he says that to negate all the other stuff that was said to them. Hey, in one sense, who has bewitched you? Who has tried to change your mind to the understanding that you are free? Like that sheep bouncing around. Boop, 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 boop. And so in one sense, you are free. But don't allow that freedom. Don't go so far in the other direction that their freedom itself brings you right back into that gully. Like the sheep in our talk before. Serve one another, and then he sums up, as Jesus did when he was here. Jesus took all the Ten Commandments and boiled them down to two that were fulfilled in him. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. As we walk through life with a relationship with God, if we are loving one another, then we are doing the work that God has called us to. And when we love one another, everybody is loved. When we instead focus on self, we become selfish, and we end up hurting ourselves, and we end up hurting others. And this cycle can continue, and he's warning us against that. All the law was fulfilled in this one command. If you bite and devour one another and destroy each other, it's essentially stop policing one another and let the Holy Spirit do his work. I don't know if there's ever been a time in my lifetime where it seems like the church is fighting against the capital C church, those who say they follow Christ, has tried to devour one another more than now. I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. Notice the conflict there? I. As opposed to, Holy Spirit, do what you want to do in and through me. So you're not to do whatever you want. You're to be led by the Spirit. I don't know if anything has been more confused than this. When somebody comes into a relationship with Jesus Christ, often we handle that somewhat well. The God of the universe sent his son to die for you. He wants a relationship with you. Okay, once he comes in, then what? And we often revert back to trying to be good. And we don't need to. He sent us the Holy Spirit to change our lives as we yield to him. I get in this discussion maybe more than anything else when somebody finds out that I'm a pastor and they've had some kind of encounter engagement with Christ. A couple years ago, a young man called me up, and he had met me through somebody and said, hey, can I get together with you? And I said, sure. So we sit down, and he says, I can't do this. Being a Christian is too hard. Like, I can't do this. I can't. Everything I want to do, I don't do, and everything that I don't want to do, I do do. I'm like, man, that sounds familiar to me. Paul himself said this in Romans chapter 7. And he's, I'm just so tired. And so I feel like my only option is just to say screw it and just not care. And I said, can we pause right there? This is not an either or. It's a yielding to God. It's not about how good you can be, and it's not about just saying screw it and doing whatever you want because Christ has changed your life. It's about yielding to the Holy Spirit who desires to do it in and through you. You're right, you cannot do it. No earthly person could. That's why Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to transform us and change us. And to be him through us. And I've said this often before. So a relationship with God is not a religion of obligations or condemnation. It's a relationship of transformation through the Holy Spirit. in life with God, God is the destination and the journey. We are heading towards him, and he is with us along the way. It's the full spectrum. It's not one or the other. It's with him. And then Paul continues in verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so here's the list. This is the list of things that Paul points out to the church in Galatia. He said, I've already talked to you about these. And this group of people have focused your attention on these and drawn your attention away from God. Your focus has become, how do I not do this? And not, how do I let the Holy Spirit do what he desires to do in through me? These things are obvious. They're easy to do apart from God. But every single one of the things on the list hurts you or somebody else. The things that God desires to do in and through you are not, it's not to weigh you down. It's to free you so that your soul is healthy and you're helping others. Every single one of these really could be wrapped up in selfish ambitions. Because everything on that list comes from a place of self. Either I need to protect myself or hurt others to protect myself, or I will hurt others because I enjoy it. These are obvious. Get your focus off of them. But sometimes we land on that last verse and completely miss what Paul is saying. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so what ends up happening is then the church, the followers of Christ, put this list out to the world, and we tell the world, get yourself better. A couple years ago in Nyack, these two, I will call them knuckleheads, stood on the corner in the by the gazebo in town with signs with this list on it. And other signs that said, God hates you. Get right with him. And then something amazing happened. Two other guys came and stood next to them. And one said, God loves you. And the other one said, God wants you. Paul has said, Jesus is taking care of it all. He's the one that takes care of it all. You don't have to get better to get to him. He did it for you. So now let him help you get better. It's completely different than anything else out there. But apart from the Holy Spirit, we revert back to just get better. So Paul continues in verse 22 with the key, the nuggets, the meat. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's forbearance, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, and it's self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Hey, and let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The acts of the flesh are obvious. These things that are flaws apart from God, these things will hurt you, they'll hurt others. Don't listen to them. Focus on the Holy Spirit and let him do these things in and through you. Here's the list. Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Notice that every single one of those is other-focused. When you're in right communion with God and you allow the Holy Spirit to do what he desires to do in and of you, you become love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It is never, never bad to accomplish or allow the Holy Spirit to do any of these in and through you. Because in our relationship with Christ, all the other stuff has been crucified. And when we allow those things to manifest, then people don't get to see God. They end up seeing flesh. So, live by the Spirit. Let the Spirit do what he desires and wants to do in and through you. And don't be conceited, provoking, or envy. Hey, just in case you've missed what I've said, when the Holy Spirit takes over and you become love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, don't go, wow, look at me. I'm so loving. I'm so peaceful. I'm so patient. Woo! Let people see the Holy Spirit in and through you. Last week, everybody was leaving. We were getting ready to go. And to be honest, I was tired. I just wanted to go home and take a nap and get ready to shut the door. And up walks this person with a dog, and the dog walks right up to the door of the church. And so I said, hey, you know, is your dog friendly? And they're like, nah, it doesn't really like people. So I just bent down and kind of put my hand out. And the dog started licking my hand and then literally sat down next to me and let me pet the dog. And I was like, well, this is nice, but I really want to go home and take a nap. I'm tired. It's been a long week. And the person, you know, apologizes, and we begin to talk. And it was clear that they didn't want to come near the building, which is generally an indication of something going on. But we began to talk, and they began to open up. And I was like, I'm not going home anytime soon. And I'm like, oh, I just want to go home. I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to interact with the Spirit. I'm so selfish. Me. And we're talking, and I found out that the person had kind of grown up in the church and knew about God but didn't understand the role of the Holy Spirit in their life. And there was a lot of pain of not being able to accomplish or seemingly being able to get close to God. And I found out years ago, before most of you were here, they used to come to this church. And there was a lot of pain points. There was a lot of interactions that they had had with Living Christ Church that were painful. And in the midst of that, they didn't see the Holy Spirit in and through us. They heard what was unattainable. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we didn't say it, but that was what was perceived by this person. And so I was about ready to do my thing where I apologize, and the person preempted and was like, yeah, and I hate when people apologize for things they don't do. And I was like, oh, shoot. And I was like, listen, that may be true, but I'm the pastor of this church now. And you were hurt by us, correct? And they said, yeah. And I said, well, as the pastor of this church now, then I want to apologize to you. I'm so sorry we hurt you. I'm so sorry you didn't see the Holy Spirit in and through us. Please forgive us. And I just kind of fluffed it off, and we continued talking for another 45 minutes. And the more we talked, the more my soul was filled. and the more their souls seemed to be filled. When I stopped focusing on self and my desire to have lunch and take a nap, this person got to see Jesus. Not because of anything Jeff wanted to do, trust me, was what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And this person got to hear, despite the flaws that were in me. That is the difference the Holy Spirit makes in your life. He asks us to sit down so that he can stand up, and so people get to see Jesus. And so after this time of talking, we finally wrapped it up and we're going to leave. And they got halfway down the street and they turned around and they said, "Hey, Jeff." I said, "Yeah. Thank you for apologizing. I realized I did need to hear that." We can get so consumed with all this stuff in the world that becomes all about us and looks nothing like the gospel that the apostles preached to the world. And that happens if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in and through us. But if we do, then people get to see Jesus. It's really, I believe, it's really that simple and that difficult. And it becomes difficult if we don't allow him to do what he wants to do. So I want to land with kind of a couple questions here this morning. We say this all the time when we do our healing prayer sessions here at the church. What would freedom look like for you? Are you bound or consumed by one of those things on the list that the God of the universe wants to free you from? Are you trying to be so good to prove that God died on his death on the cross, and he didn't do it in vain? And you're exhausted? Or are you living the way you want to and noticing that the pain you're causing yourself and others? Just, "Hey, God's, you know, saved me. I'm all good. I'll just do whatever the heck I want apart from the Holy Spirit. I got my ticket." God doesn't want us to live like either one of those. He wants to partner with us. And so, will you let the Holy Spirit bear fruit, show his power, manifest in your life, change you, so that people get to see him and not you? And just sit in this for a minute. Lord, as we sit here, once again, we tell the enemy of our soul, you don't get to speak during this time. Holy Spirit, speak. All the things out of us that we need to let go of and lay down so that you can be what you desire to be in and through us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. We're going to spend several weeks on this, so if, as we're peeling the outer layers of what needs to happen, I'd really encourage you to press in and let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do over the course of the next few weeks. Let's stand, let's sing together as we close out this morning. What do you got? Oh, I thought you had something.